starting the Bana Pei Gimel base. We're moving to Pei Dalet Amud Aleph and Bava Kamma here. So there's a new approach of Ayin Tachas Ayin. So this is Rav Dustai Ben Yehuda's solution. So he says, I'll prove to you that it's Ayin Tachas Ayin is not literal. Because what are you going to do if one person has a big eye, one person has a small eye? Right? So that's not just. One guy, now you knocked out a small, and now you knocked out a big eye. That's not fair. So what are you going to do in that case? You're going to say, take money in that case when the two eyes are not exactly the same size. You're going to have to take money. Yeah, but that's a violation of Mishpat Echad. It's Mishpat Echad Yelchem, Mishpat Shal V'Kulchem, that there has to be a justice, a uniform justice in all cases. That's the Gemara that says a proof. And therefore, it must be, you don't do Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish because there's no real way to do it across the board. So the Gemara says, who says that's a good question? Gemara rejects it essentially because maybe the Mishpat is taking away his sight. You don't say the fact that one's bigger, one's smaller matters, but each in both guys, the Chovel knocked out the purse, the Nechbal's sight, and he loses his own sight. One eye is bigger than the other, it doesn't really matter. And if you Gemara proves it, you don't say that. What about the murderer? So Katan Shargas a Gadol, the Gadol Shargas a Katan, how can you kill him? Because right there, one's big, one's small. So Rashi there learns Katan Shaharag. Obviously, the problem is it can't be Katan Shaharag can't meet somebody who's a Katan, a minor, because in fact we don't kill a minor, right? Not gonna, there's no unshim for a minor, so it must be Katan means somebody short, a nanas, a midget, right? That's Rashi's forced to learn that way. And he says, but then you know, so how are you gonna? Where's the justice? You're gonna say the justice is because. Because life, it's nefesh, tachas nefesh. The murderer took away the victim's life, and now he loses his own life. One of them was big, one of them was small. Who cares? What's the difference? That's still considered mishpat. Okay? So we'd like to define the attempted proof, Rav Dustai Ben Yehuda's proof. And the Gemara's rejection. Gemara's rejection, right? And the idea of mishpat echad yeh la'alachem. One thing I want to point out is, I think Pshat in the Gemara, based upon Rashi, of Katan Shaharag, who he's comparing a midget to a regular size, full size adult, that the eye means a big eye and a small eye. I just say, were it not for Rashi, I would have learned Gadol and Katana means with like, and it's not, it's a little bit of a stretch, but I mean, it means good vision and poor vision. Somebody who has 20/20 vision, or you knock out an eye 20/20 vision, then let's say the Rotzeach has very poor vision, not the Rotzeach, the Chovel has very poor vision. So is that just? You're taking out a fully functioning eye for a partially functioning eye? I mean, to me, that's the bigger question because one eye is a little bigger than the other. That's like a funny kind of problem in Mishpat. To me, like right away, who cares? One's a little bigger and smaller. Who even notices these things about eyes? And the same thing with the midget and the adult. It's almost hard to even understand what's the difference. It's like the Pashut answer. It's life. It's almost like the Gemara made a straw man. The straw man is treating Gadol and Katana like purely in terms of physical size. Then you have, then you could say midget versus an adult, what's the difference? But instead of that, if you just look at it in terms of, let's say one guy has 20/20 vision, the other guy's legally blind, you know, what kind of mishpah is that? Right? I mean, arguably the Gemara in the next line of the Gemara is going to get into that a little. But let's say they both have sight, just one's better than the other. Then I could have seen the question. But it doesn't seem like Rashi or the Gemara is interpreting that framework. It seems like the problem is one eye is bigger and one eye is smaller. That's not just. And Gemara is saying, what's the difference? It is just because either way, you remove the function of sight. Okay, so let's see if we can understand, define, I call it Habim Askana or Rav Dustai's, Rav Dustai Ben Yehuda's approach and the Gemara's rejection. Okay, so at least saying that define the Habimin or Rav Dustai's argument is that the mishpat of Ayin Tachas Ayin is you want to do to Reuven what he did to Shimon, right? And if you're knocking by Reuven, you're knocking out a big guy, and Shimon, you're knocking out a small and Shimon, so you're not exactly doing the same Misa to Reuven as he did to Shimon, okay? So so there's in a sense, two assumptions here, which are, you know, fine. One is that that you're defining the action based upon its mechanical properties, in a sense of, you have to define the action by the action is not blinding. Reuven blinded Shimon, therefore we're going to blind Reuven. But You're defining the mishpat in terms of like the actual mechanical action, which again is not, it's not obvious why mishpat should take up that framework, right? There are these two frameworks as to how you define an action. Do you look at, you define action by its effect, or do you define action by the actual, the, like, I don't know, for lack of a better term, the mechanical description of the action. You know, in a certain sense, I think at least in that, that's the question. Are you doing to Reuven the very physical action that he did to Shimon, or are you producing the effect in Reuven that he produced in Shimon? And that's Gemara's answer. Gemara's answer is you go by the effect as opposed to the description of the physical action itself. Because what are you going to do about the Ritzicha case by the midget and the regular person? What are you going to do by them? Right, that's more or less what you're saying. Is that's the okay? Right. I was thinking a little different, but I hear what you're saying. I have to think it through. I'm not sure. There's not, you know, I'll think it through. But I'll just say that what jumped out to me is that like. It's how irrelevant big and small seems to be by an eye, I would think, because the Gemara seems to be like the main thing is the vision, and the same thing by the people, how big somebody is, how tall or short they are, it's like so secondary to whether you kill them or not, and whether you lose your life. Like the essence of course is the life, and the essence of course is the sight. How big the eye is, the diameter of a person's pupil. I mean, like, who even knows that? Who cares, you know? So I was thinking the question is like, is Rav Dustai is assuming a certain property of Mishpat, that Mishpat is exact. That's like a important element of absolute Mishpat, which is what the Torah, that's the philosophy of Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamash, is pure justice, okay? That the Torah is demanding pure justice. By Rotzeach, the Torah does demand pure justice, nefesh achas nefesh. That for sure, that's the mamish svar, is forget, no forgiveness, no kapara, no kofar, nothing, just pure mishpat. But it's saying that pure mishpat must be exact. That's a key characteristic of absolute justice. And when you knock at a person's eye, the Gemara knows, or the Sai understands, the essence of an eye is vision. But there are secondary features of a person's body, bigger and smaller, color, I don't know, other things. I know why it doesn't, again, it bothers me, it doesn't bring in the function of the eye. One's more functional than the other, but whatever. But there are secondary features besides sight. And saying that you don't, and that's basically the argument that Rav is making, is that when you try to do Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish, you're going for absolute mishpat, you're not going to really get absolute mishpat in most cases, because secondary features are going to be different. And you're not going to be able to produce the exact same effect on, so I'm differing from Ellie a little here. I'm saying you're not going to be able to produce the same effect in Reuven as he did in Shimon, because the secondary features are going to be different. And when those secondary features are different, so what are you going to do? It's not real Mishpat, so you're going to be forced to switch to Mamon. Yeah, but once you switch to Mamon, Mishpat Echad, you can't have, when the eyes match up, you do Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish. When the eyes don't match up, that's money. Because then you have Mishpat Echad, is the Torah wants one uniform system of justice, and it wants the same onesh applied across the board. But that's sort of the study's argument, that you're looking for pure Mishpat, but in most cases you're not going to be able to do it because the secondary features are going to be different. And to have money sometimes and a Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish the other times, that's going to be a violation of Mishpat Echad, having a uniform system of justice. But the Gemara rejects that, and the Gemara says that no, you see that pure mishpat it needs exactitude. It's got to be nefesh tachas nefesh, ayin tachas ayin. You do have to have, it's got to be exact and precise, but it's got to be exact and precise in the essence of what's going on. That you don't say that secondary features, the fact that they're different and they're tafel. You don't say the fact that the secondary features are a little bit different. That undermines the idea of pure mishpat. Pure mishpat has a certain amount of flexibility in that even though it demands exactitude in the essence of what happened. But it doesn't demand that all the accidents work out. And you don't say that. What are you going to do about Ritzicha? That's not nefesh achas nefesh. It's not really going to be. You know what I mean? One's old, one's young. One's tall, one's short. One's fast, one's slow, and smart and stupid. And as Rambam in the Mor Nebuchim, the Torah equates the life of a katan and gadol and a sachal and a chacham and right and ashen and ani, all these different things, all these secondary features about people. You say the essence of Ritzicha is nefesh, and nefesh tachas nefesh is exact in the essence of what happened. And the fact that the secondary features don't come out to be the same, we don't say that undermines the principle of mishpat. So since you say that by nefesh, tachas nefesh, you're going to say that by ayin, tachas ayin too. One eye is bigger than that and smaller than the other. Whatever, that's still considered exact mishpat. Secondary features don't undermine the exactitude of justice, and even in a pure mishpat framework.
Ezra Zimmer?
Yes.
So according to the Hafmi, it could be easy just to say that one was blue eyed and one was brown eyed, etc.
Yeah, assuming that there's something better about blue eyes over brown eyes. Sorry, brown eyed people, but assuming that would be the assumption, I'm saying yes, correct. That's the way I'm learning.
Is there something better about having bigger eyes?
I'm assuming that there's like, you know, Part of a goof is a bigger, you know, a bigger body, you know, a bigger, you know, a bigger face, bigger everything, you know, tiny little eyes. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know. That's what's a little strange. But I'm assuming that you know, you'd rather have big eyes than small little eyes. You know, you have to add in small little eyes. I guess it conveys what I'm talking about, you know. I just said mm-hmm. small eyes, yeah. But small little tiny eyes, you know. Who wants small little tiny eyes?
Right.
Look at
that.
Big knife, big owl, yeah. Right. I don't know. I know. I hear the question a little bit. Intuitively, it's like, come on, who cares? It's like, who really cares? But in an extreme, I could see that. In an extreme, a guy has really small eyes. I could see that being, you know, who wants really tiny eyes? You know, that's not as good as a normal sized eye. It's called normal, good, normal, big, normal sized eyes. Not huge, massive, you know, like that. But at least relative to the nanas case, right? The midget is like, that's like maybe the Gemara doesn't even have a Habamina. Was there a difference between a person who's 6 feet or 5'8"? What's the difference? Exact same thing, you know? Maybe there's like small preferences. Maybe Gemara doesn't even have a Habamina like that. But midget, I mean, it's like hard for him to deal with life. It's a more difficult life. Everything, the world's not built for small people. It's built for big people. So the same thing, a guy who's like, maybe got eyes are a little bit bigger or smaller. Maybe the Gemara wouldn't even consider that even in the Habamina as anything. But a guy's got tiny little eyes, midget eyes. So then maybe that would be something that would be, you know, I don't know, defective, but it's not as good. It's not as good for, you know, it's not as functional. So maybe if you say that, then I hear you could argue that brown and blue wouldn't be a difference. I mean, what's really the difference? It would have to be something that's like, maybe it's good. Maybe there's really three things. There's really like irrelevant characteristics that maybe make something slightly better, slightly worse, but nobody really cares. That would be 6 foot, 5'8", or eyes a little bigger, a little smaller. And nobody even has a Havamina. That mishpat, pure mishpat, needs that to be the same. But what about secondary features that do matter? That guy's a midget versus a regular adult, or a guy has like, you know, defective, you know, tiny little eyes as opposed to regular sized eye. So maybe there you would say that is, even though, you know, really is worse. It really is worse eyes. You know, really is inferior. The only thing is, essentially, the main thing of an eye is sight. And either way, the eye works. What's, you know, essentially, it's all the same. So, you know, that's the question. Does Mishpat definitely, you say, doesn't need to get everything exactly the same, even these secondary features that are really largely irrelevant. But you would like to get secondary features that matter. And Kamash Malan, the Gemara is showing from the case of Nefesh Dachas Nefesh, so long as essentially we dealt with pure Mishpat, that's good enough. The Torah is satisfied by having Mishpat in the primary framework. Even if it can't get pure Mishpat in secondary frameworks, that's good enough. You still say there's value in pursuing absolute justice. Yeah, the reason I'm making the three groups is because I'm saying that there's the essence, which is sight. Then there's secondary features that matter, which I'm assuming gadol and katan, right? If you learn like Rashi, that nanas, it means not just like a little bit bigger or smaller, but it means like really becomes a qualitative thing of like a tiny eye. or person. And then there's like a third category of just like differences that don't really matter. Maybe there's preferences that one's like you prefer to have one or the other, but like nobody would really say that it makes it better or worse. Like color, I think, is a good example, blue and brown. Like nobody really cares what's the difference. You know, maybe you prefer one or the other, but it doesn't really matter. But if it's like a defective eye in the sense that it's like really tiny, you know, that can answer my other question from the Gemara. My problem was, why is the Gemara, the better argument would be like, let's say one guy has 20/20 vision, one guy doesn't. He has, you know, I don't know, it's 60/20, whatever it is. So that Gemara should have said that. But if you say like this, that Gadlan Katlan kind of means that it's like a defective eye in some sense. And that's a Rashi by Katan Sharak also brings in Nanas. It's not just taller and shorter, but it's really becomes like a genetic defect that they're smaller. So then you can understand that's Gemara's point, is that Mishpat should be equal. But secondary features that matter, that's not Mishpat. Those things do matter. It's not, you know, everything's not about the essence. And then they could see Dustai's argument that Mishpat should be exact. And you're lacking the exactitude because of these secondary features that really matter. And the Gemara is saying is it's a nice theory of Dustai, but you could argue that. And I'm not sure if Dustai is wrong. You understand? It could be if Dustai is correct on a certain level. That maybe, you know, maybe I said it a little too extreme before. Like in a pure Mishpat, I mean, yeah, pure Mishpat should take into account these secondary features that matter. You know, I think I want to qualify what I said before. I mean, pure Mishpat, the question is the third degree things that don't really matter, I don't know about that. But these secondary things that really matter, yeah, Mishpat should take them into account. And he's arguing if you can't do that, you get in, then you're not really doing pure Mishpat, then you got to go to money. Oh, you can't go to money, Mishpat Echad. But the Gemara is showing him that you could, it's the same to say less. I think Gemara is just showing you that the Torah is willing to have pure Mishpat so long as it satisfies the primary framework of the essential act of you know, evil that one person did to the other. If you can have Mishpat in the primary essential framework of life for life or sight for sight, so then even though in the secondary framework you don't have pure Mishpat, it's true, but you're not going to abandon the framework of pure Mishpat and now say you have to go to Mammon in that way. You could limit the framework of pure Mishpat to the essence of what the person did, and that the Torah would be satisfied, and the Torah would say, I am tachas ayin mamash. There's value in getting pure Mishpat in the essence, in the essential framework of what happened, even though the secondary characteristics and features, you're not going to have pure Mishpat. Rav Dusai is saying, if you can't have pure Mishpat across the board, then don't do it at all. Switch to money. It's not going to work, Mishpat Echad. That's his proof. Therefore, must always be money. But the Gemara is saying, no, maybe the Torah is willing to do ayin tachas ayin in an essential framework of sight for sight. And therefore, you could do that always and everywhere. And therefore, you never have to do money. Just like by nefesh achas nefesh, the Torah doesn't have a problem with that. And it's true. I mean, Gemara is right. By nefesh achas nefesh, the Torah ignores all secondary features of people. And if, you know, an intelligent person versus a stupid person, you're going to tell me, how are you going to call that Mishpat? I mean, this guy, one guy has a terrible life, one guy has a great life, and still, you say it's Mishpat, but nefesh tachas nefesh, right? An old person, an 80-year-old person, or, a, you know, 15-year-old guy, how's that Mishpat? The 15-year-old kid kills an 80-year-old grandma. So now he loses his life, as she was going to die anyway in a couple of years. Well, why should he lose, he's going to lose 70 years of his life? Is that fair? But nefesh tachas nefesh, the Torah goes for the essence, the pure Mishpat in the essential framework. And that's the Gemara, and therefore you can't prove that ayin tachas ayin. You would have to shift to mamon because you can't satisfy pure mishpat in the essential framework. Okay, based upon Joe did a quick Google search, and midget apparently is an offensive term, so we'd like anybody for now on we refer to as little people. Katan, in fact, the Gemara was ahead of its time. It says it doesn't even say nanas; it says katan. Okay, so now the official is, we take it back. It was based upon our ignorance. We apologize solemnly. And everything is now little people. Thank you, Joe.